I worked major crime, so I did all the homicides, robberies, sex crimes. You try to shoulder everything that you see. There's a lot that happens that first responders have to deal with. And there's cases that you have that just take a piece of your heart that, you know, you're never going to see again, and just really heartbreaking things. Everybody doesn't think that they're going to be that person who gets affected by the trauma, but eventually everybody is going to be affected by it. So I was working that day and I responded to my own son's suicide call. When my first child died, I told God, I said, God, don't send me to another dead kid call. Don't send me to another. I don't want to have to tell anybody they lost a loved one. You know, I'm out. Don't send me that. And those were all the calls I got, one after another. And I was just going, what are you doing, God?
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner, and Wendy, you're probably not as big a fan as I was back a few years ago.
About what?
Rocky Balboa.
Oh, yeah. How many times do we have to watch the Rocky movies?
Here's the crazy thing, though. Today's guest reminds me of Rocky. I almost called him Rocky. Because no matter how many times this guy got knocked down, he'd get right back up.
True.
And so that's why today's conversation is going to be so powerful, because we're talking about what happens when someone spends a lifetime running toward crisis and danger. It's kind of like Rocky running into the punches, but never really deals with what's going on the inside, what it's doing to them on the inside.
Yeah, true. Well, our guest today is Sergeant Mike McGrew, and he is a highly decorated 31-year veteran of the Santa Barbara Police Department. And he has served as a major crimes homicide detective, a hostage negotiator, and as president of the Police Officers Association. And he's not just a first generation first responder, he's a third generation first responder. So this really wasn't just a job, it's like part of who he is.
Yeah, he's such a dude.
He's
a delight. But over those decades, Mike was exposed really to the worst of humanity. It was violent crime, loss, trauma on a regular basis. And at the same time, his personal life was taking hit after hit. Cancer, failed marriages, the loss of his youngest son, and then another son battling addiction. I'm telling you, that's a level of weight that most people couldn't imagine carrying.
True. And like so many people, especially those who are strong and used to helping others, he didn't process it.
No.
He buried it. He pushed it down, tried to cope. And like many do, turn to things that only made the pain worse instead of better.
Yeah, but in everything, he continued to wonder, is there something more? And so everything changed when Mike hit a real breaking point. Mm-hmm. He had this profound encounter with God. And this was one that didn't just, you know, change what he believed. It began to heal years of trauma that had been broken.
Yeah. And so today he is the co-founder and executive director of 911 at Ease International, and they provide free confidential counseling to first responders and their families. It's amazing. And he's the author of A Higher Call to Duty, where he shares his journey from trauma to healing to purpose.
Yeah. So what we love about Mike's story is simply this. It's not just about law enforcement. It's about anyone who's ever tried to carry pain alone.
Yeah.
Anyone who feels overwhelmed, anyone who needs to know that breakthrough actually is still possible.
Yes. So he's the perfect fit for Your Biggest Breakthrough. Enjoy the show. Well, welcome Sergeant Mike McGrew to Your Biggest Breakthrough. It's a delight to have you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and for those who are watching on YouTube, you're going to love his studio.
It's awesome.
Are you in your truck or your car?
I'm in my truck.
I figured truck.
New Mexico.
Figured truck.
He's in New Mexico.
I pegged him as a truck guy.
In an area that doesn't have great signal, but you know, this is going to work its way through just wonderfully. And Mike has got a great story that I really believe is going to encourage you.
It's just a good story.
Pay close attention and watch and see how many times you're going to relate to what Mike went through, not specifically, but in terms of internally. So, Mike, we're going to start at the beginning here. You literally have spent decades seeing a lot of things that most of us cannot even imagine. We're talking about crime scenes, violence, loss, all these emotionally traumatic things in life. So when did you start to first realize that this isn't a job anymore? This is really starting to affect me.
When I came on to the police department, I served for 31 years. And half my career I was in patrol as an officer and a sergeant. And the other half I worked major crimes. So I did all the homicides, robberies, sex crimes, crimes against children. This really kind of the worst of the worst of. And when I came into this job, you were told, hey, it's a tough job, so just suck it up and do your best. And I wasn't a believer when I first started. And, you know, you try to shoulder everything that you see. There's a lot that happens that first responders have to deal with. And there's cases that you have that just take a piece of your heart that, you know, you're never going to see again. And just really heartbreaking things and traumatic things. And you get attacked a lot as well. There's a lot of violence against yourself and your partners. And so these things just build up and they build up and they build up. And everybody doesn't think that they're going to be that person who gets affected by the trauma. But eventually everybody is going to be affected by it. And I was. There was a lot of negative coping mechanisms that were out there drinking. It was just, there wasn't any place for me to put my burdens down. And a lot of the people that I worked with as well. And I went through two marriages. It was during my third marriage that I actually came to the Lord. I had a 12-year-old son that was diagnosed with cancer. He had bone cancer, osteosarcoma, and he lost his leg. And then we had to go through some chemotherapy that was really tough. He almost died about six times just because of the chemo. But God was there. I didn't know him yet. A lot of people said, you know, why don't you come to the Lord? And there's a lot of peace in this, a lot of strength in this. And I was just saying, well, if there's a God, then how come my kid's got cancer? How come missing his leg? What's going on?
Yeah.
But the Lord was just super gentle with me. And the police department, the fire department, my dad retired as the fire chief of the city of Santa Barbara. And that's where I worked for it, was the city of Santa Barbara at the police department. And the police and fire departments got together and they wanted to help out. So they had a barbecue at a local fairgrounds and they were selling chicken lunches just to help us with co-pays. And we had to drive to Los Angeles for a lot of the treatments. And the day that they had this barbecue, 1,000 people from the community showed up.
Wow.
It was amazing. And, you know, you can't say thank you enough. You just can't do it.
How humble.
There's no words for it. Yeah. But it was God. He was there. And
yeah.
And they raised the money. And it was about halfway through my son's battle that I did come to the Lord. I was at a concert.
Well, hold on. We want to get to that, but we got to back it up first, Sergeant, because there's so much to get to, because you're trying to get through your whole story in 5 minutes. We got 45 here. So I want to go back, actually, because I obviously there's so many pivotal moments in your God walk and just your journey. But I'm thinking about first responders, and I'm thinking about people that have experienced trauma. And I'm thinking about people, I mean, just average people that aren't first responders that deal with massive trauma, and they internalize it. They push it down, and just like you did. And so for someone listening right now, I kind of want to just ask them or ask you, like, how do you know, or how did you know, and how can maybe you tell them that when's the point where you're no longer handling it? It's actually hurting you. When was that point for you?
I think it starts to hurt you the moment you start to do that. For me, I did put compartmentalize a lot of the trauma. I pushed it down. But it also built walls. And that's kind of a form of protection that you're doing. You know, you're building walls up. And it's not the place to be, because it's just your heart isn't going to be able to function the way it needs to function and love people the way that you need to love people and be there for people that, you know, just and you're just shutting down, basically, is what happens. So
yeah.
You go to work, you see the trauma, you know, you see some really bad stuff. You come home, you can't even talk about it because it's so bad. You don't want to share that with, you know, your family. You don't want to
have nightmares about it.
Yeah. And so there's really no place to talk about it. You know, sometimes you can talk about it at work, but once you leave work, you know, you're on your own and nobody's going to understand it, nor would you want them to try to understand it. Because I think as a police officer, one of my responsibilities was to have people feel safe and not to, you know, scare them with the things that I've seen, you know, because it doesn't happen all the time to everybody. Yeah. It happens a lot to the people that serve. But you want to make people feel safe. So there's just a lot of, things that'll shut down and that's where
a lonely place.
That's where people get hard hearts, you know?
Yeah. And you stay so focused on, you know, on the mission, and you don't put any focus onto what's happening on the inside of you. And so I think that's true, not just for first responders, but for people who just go through stuff that they don't know how to handle. Mm-hmm. And it seems that a lot of times we try to numb our pain by going somewhere else just to try to ease the pain, like alcohol.
In your case,
you went to alcohol. And so why do you think it's so easy for us to turn to those things instead of just to turn to people and ask for help?
Or the Lord.
Well, not knowing the Lord at that time, I didn't know, you know, I didn't have the spirit to discern. And I had people that were praying for me. I'm so grateful for them, because they just prayed for me all the time, and they didn't give up, and they could have given up, and they did not give up on me. And I go back and I thank them to this very day. I say, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for, because they wanted me to know. And, when you don't know the Lord, it's hard, and you want to shoulder things that you are not going to be able to shoulder. And that's what I was trying to do. And then you're trying to deal with things that are so difficult that you just get to a point where you just want to numb yourself, like you said, and you're not dealing with things. And so, yeah, alcohol was a form of that for me. And, I just come home and just kind of check out and have a drink and really not talk about things and just, you know, wait till the next day. And it's really not a life that's, you know, it's not good. It's not.
You didn't know the whole time that even while you're going through all of that, trying to fix things on your own in a different way, God had his eye on you, and, you know, and he had his number. He had your number, and he was, sometimes people refer to the Holy Spirit as the hound of heaven, who, you know, hunts you down. That's what he's doing in your case.
Yeah. So let's get there. Let's talk about that concert that you were sharing with us a minute ago, where you had that moment with the Lord, and just walk us through it.
Yeah, I was in a dark place. I was in a place where I'd lost some marriages. I had a child that was dealing with a life-threatening disease. I had another son that got involved in drugs at the same time, and so I went to a concert. I didn't know what it was. I went with my wife, and it was our first date, and it was a Chris Tomlin concert. And so I was at this concert at the County Bowl in Santa Barbara, and Louis Giglio came out and he spoke, and he had my number. He said, is there anybody out there who, and he just went down my checklist, you know, who was just feeling lonely, like things were out of control, just, you know, in a dark place, and just really, he described my life at that time. And I was so struck by that. I was just thinking, how does this man know, you know, he's speaking to me? And there was 5,000 people in that crowd. And I was looking around going, how does he know my story? And so, so I was hit hard by the Holy Spirit. And the next day, my cousin, Dan McGrew, he works at the police department. We have a lot of cops and firefighters in our family. And he was raised a Christian. And he was one of the guys that was praying for me. And I called him up and I said, "Hey, Dan, would you talk to me about Jesus? You know, I want to know more." And it was that day that the seed was planted, the mustard seed was planted. And from that day on, it just began to grow and grow, my love for God and just that fire that I had, that desire that I had. And it really changed my life. It transformed my life. And it also transformed my job as well. And I just found, I found a lot of peace. I found a lot of strength. I found a lot of comfort. I found all the things God has to offer. And I needed that, you know, at that point in my life. And it was, and I still do. And it was just amazing. But God started to change things at work as well. And I knew that it was no longer about going to 9/11 calls. It was God was putting me in places that I needed to be to help other people.
That's amazing. Well, amazing.
Receive their help too.
Yeah.
And when you you know, received the Holy Spirit and had that moment at the concert, at the Chris Tomlin concert. What was your, I mean, you reached out to your brother or brother-in-law, brother?
Yeah, my cousin.
Your cousin. You reached out to your cousin, but then after that, were you hungry? Like, did you jump right into the Bible? Were you looking at all kinds of YouTube videos? Like what was the hunger and how did you feed?
I did. And for me, it was the word. I jumped into the Bible a lot.
Good.
And it just spoke to me. It just became lifelike, you know, and it is lifelike. It's the living word.
And
the
in
Bible
that moment.
And I just needed more and I needed more. And then, you know, I was in the first home group that I was in. There's a pastor that was discipling me and I was in his home group and we were studying the book of Joshua. And that's when my first son died. My youngest son, the one that had been battling cancer. The cancer had come back 3 times. It hit his lung, which is fatal, and then it hit his other leg. And they didn't want to make him a double amputee, but they tried to do a bone sparing operation that didn't hold. And, you know, it was just really tough times. And when he was 18, the way it ended was that he committed suicide.
He just couldn't.
So sorry.
So I was working that day, and it happened in the city, and so I responded to my own son's suicide call. You know, it was God was so gentle. I have to tell you, it was He. When I look back on everything that happened, He was so gentle to me and He gave me every single thing that I needed. And, you know, there was a lot of officers that showed up at the scene. You know, I looked down the driveway of this place and it was just a sea of blue, you know, and nobody has a word, you know, you really don't have words for people when you go through that, but there's that ministry of presence that happened.
Presence.
And that's what happened. You know, it's just, I just really valued the fact that they were there for me. And then God brought the right people in to speak to me. There's a couple supernatural miracles that happened, you know, right after my child's death that, you know, I knew where my boy was.
Do you want to share those supernatural miracles?
Yeah, you know, miracles come in, they're very personal a lot of times, you know, they're something that hit you, but it's got God's signature all over it. But there was just one of the miracles was there was a lady that was my son's therapist, and she came to the house, and my son was in a bedroom, and he was on the floor. And she asked me if she could go in and see him and say goodbye. And I said, sure. So she went in and closed the door, and she was not a believer. But she went in and closed the door, and, she came out and she was white as a sheet. She was just white and she was trembling. And she was looking at me and she was holding on to my arm. And she said, Mike, TT, and that's my son's nickname was TT. But she said, TT's with God. TT's with God. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I didn't, you know, and just thought, I didn't know what had happened. So it was about 3 days later that she called me up and she said, I need to tell you what happened in that room. And she said, I'm not a believer and not, you know, I don't go to church, never have. And, you know, I walked into that room and I was sitting down and I was sitting on the floor and I was holding TT's hand. And then something grabbed my other hand, grabbed my right arm. And then it made the sign of the cross on me. And she said, it was like something grabbed my hand and then did that and made the sign of the cross. Wow. And, you know, so it, had she told me that day, it would have been like, you know, but the fact that I saw the reaction she had when she came out of that room, I knew that she was struck, you know, and then for her to tell me what had happened, you know, it just made complete sense. So there was miracles like that, you know, and it's just, you know, God was just letting me know, hey, your boy's okay. He's with me. And,
sweet. And he's beautiful. So gracious.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was, you know, God's good. He's,
yeah.
I just look back and I just go, wow, you know, what an amazing God through the toughest thing you could ever experience, you know, and there is that grief that's there, you know, but his promises are there, you know, he comforted me, you know.
So Mike, you're a real man's man. I mean, you got that man.
I was going to say that earlier. That's why I said, I know he's got a truck.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, as men especially, and this is not to exclude women because you've got the same challenges ahead of you. But we have a tendency to want to handle these things on our own. Like we got a lot of pride, a lot of ego. We kind of say to ourselves, why should I be man enough to be able to handle this on my own? But you came to that point where you realized you couldn't handle things on your own anymore. So you allowed God to enter into your life, and you can just hear the profound difference that it made. You're still every bit surrender. As much of a man. You take responsibility, you protect and you serve, but you have this, this secret weapon, if you will. you have this relationship with God that seems to carry you along in ways that are really profound. Yeah. And so what for the person out there saying, well, I wish I were there. I mean, I believe in God, but I don't seem to be able to rely on him or depend on him or believe in him like I'm hearing Mike does. How can you help them?
You know, one of the things that I prayed for a lot was the gift of faith, you know, and it's in 1 Corinthians 14. It's one of the gifts that God gives you. Faith is not something that we just do, that we just can come up with. You know, it's something that God gives us. And so I prayed for it all the time and in all of my prayers, and I still do, that God would give me more faith in him, more trust in him. And he answered those prayers. And that's where, you know, as the faith grew and faith comes when we get stretched, you know, a lot, go through some difficult times. And, you know, I've been through a lot. And just having that faith and just asking God, you know, or just even talking to God about, you know, hey, I want to believe more, you know, and it's in scripture, yeah. You know,
help me
with my unbelief, you know,
yeah.
And God will meet you there. You know, he just does. Yeah. It's his promise. You know,
I love
really
that. Mike,
we ask for bread, he's not going to give us a stone, you know, he's
going to
give us more.
You know what we love about that is that, like, it's so much more simple than we realize. Like, we were thinking, well, maybe Mike will give us, like, the seven steps to, you know. but it's just like, well, just ask God. Ask him to give you more faith and then begin to watch and see what happens.
Yeah. And so you have gone through surviving all of this and more that you probably haven't shared with us because it's probably overwhelming. But now you are helping others through the 911 at ease. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because when did you realize that your pain could actually have a purpose to help others in the same kind of crisis and need?
It was after my first son's death. I reached out You know, well, let me back up. When I became a believer and God just met me where I needed to be met in every area of my life, I wanted that for every first responder that was out there, you know.
Yes.
All the cops, all the firefighters, the emergency medical people, that the people that I worked with, you know, because I knew that they were suffering the same, they were seeing the same thing I was. They were carrying the same pain I was. And I was just, that was my prayer. I'm like, you know, I just want them to have this, you know?
Yeah.
And so as I prayed, one of the things that happened out at Titi's death was I did reach out to get a counselor, and it was a grief counselor. And you know, it was somebody that that was good with grief, but I wasn't just a grieving father. I was a cop at that time that had 20 years at that point of really dark stuff, you know, things that I hadn't unloaded on anybody. And so so I don't know that every counselor's set up to hear that or to be able to deal with trauma part of that. And so I knew that I needed somebody that could deal with the issues that I was having. And I didn't find that person right away, but it made me think, you know, we have a lot of folks that are out there that that are really suffering, and there was no access for cops or firefighters or emergency medical people to get any kind of help, you know, because it was it could cost you your job, you know, if you said, hey, boss, taking that dead baby out of mom's arms really messed me up yesterday, then your boss could say, hey, that's nice, Mike, give me your badge, give me your gun, go sit over there and we'll see if you're fit for duty.
Kinda so like
nobody
in the military,
did nobody
same
reached
thing.
Out And it just, you know, and if you went to insurance, then you'd have something on your a negative medical diagnosis on your insurance, you know, and if you want to go to another agency, that's going to be on your record. And so there was just a lot of disincentives for people to get help. So as I was praying about it, I prayed with the guy. He was a philanthropist, Michael Hammer. And I was just talking to him about it. And I'm just like, hey, you know, we got to change this. And so out of prayer came the At-Ease program. And we set up a nonprofit where first responders could call a number that wasn't associated with the city or the county.
Or anonymous.
And it was absolutely anonymous. So as soon as they call a number, they become a number. I don't even know who's in the program or who's used it. A lot of people have come and thanked me later. But we just, you know, started that. And one of my prayers was that people would start to talk about, you know, just the trauma, just the issues, the, you know, the things that we had to go through and not just stow it away. You know, let's get it out on the table. Let's talk about it. And you know, it helps, you know, fellowship helps when you're going through a tough time because you think you're alone. And that's what happens. You know, I think the devil tries to isolate us and just make us think that we're alone, but God gave us each other, you know, to get through things.
Well, Mike, I just want to say way to go being obedient to this call, because, you know, putting together a nonprofit and, you know, not wasting your pain in order to help others is to be commended because other people just like you needed and still do need a safe place where they can unpack this and really get the healing that they deserve and desire. So I just think it's beautiful.
Yeah, it reminds me of what's shared in 1 Corinthians and how God has allowed us opportunity to share comfort with others with the same comfort we ourselves have received from Him. And that's exactly what you're doing, especially through your organization. I think that's awesome.
And so the website directly is, I'll put it in the show notes as well, but go ahead and share it here.
It's 911AEI.org. And that's for 911 At-Ease International is the name of the organization. Once we started it at the police department where I was in Santa Barbara, it just caught on really quick. And then before I knew it, it went countywide and then tri-countywide. And then we had a national demand for it. And so we've served over 13,000 first responders and their family members as well today.
It's incredible.
And, you know, because we help the family, there's a secondary trauma that comes home with them. But, you know, what's really interesting is that, and I don't know how it works, God does, but a lot of people come to the Lord through this program. Yeah. Even though there's secular counseling that's out there, you know, I think, you know, I've been able to talk to a lot of people because they asked me, they said, well, you know, what happened? Why'd you do this? You know, or how'd you get through what you got through? And your testimony, you know, really helps a lot of people. So, so it's been very rewarding. And then God, he threw another, he threw something else into it. And we started a thing called 9/11 Project Harmony. And this is like blowing my socks off because God's hand is on this program. And it's where we put first responders with songwriters. And the first responders tell their story to the songwriters, and the songwriters create a song from their story. So they're giving their testimony. Yeah, they're giving their testimony. Awesome. And then out of their testimony comes a song. And these songs are so powerful. And I have to tell you that, you know, we've done it at retreats. We've done it on one-on-ones, you know, most people that have been through some tough stuff. And the Holy Spirit just comes down every time, anoints the songwriters. You know, a lot of them are worship songwriters. Some of them are not. Some of them are not believers. But the songs are amazing. And God is like, he's using it to touch other people. You know, it's another ministry because we're putting these songs out, and we've gotten a lot of people that in the entertainment industry that God brought in, and he's bringing them all together. So it's really an exciting program that we're working on along with the
counseling. I love it.
Part of what we're doing.
And can they find that over on a 911AEI.org?
Yeah. It's all on our website.
I just want to make sure.
Website, we have the counseling.
I'm just thinking to myself, Mike, you're not even going to know this side of heaven.
No.
What the impact. I mean, just, wow.
Yeah, just
and your son
you
is
obedient.
just like, just cheering you on. Like, I can just see, your precious son, just like so proud of his dad.
Yeah, you're a rare bird, dude. You're a rare bird.
Yeah, we're grateful.
If you look back to your younger self, I'm sure you're shaking your head thinking, well, there's no way I could envision myself in this place today. But you've been, you know, you've proven faithful and you've proven...
With the little, so he's given you much.
Yeah, and you've been persistent in pursuing God, which I think is a real encouragement and an inspiration, because a lot of times it's easy to give up quick. Or it's easy to get bitter because of life circumstances, and to just sort of just shake it all off. And in your case, you're showing us that if you do turn to God and you sincerely seek him, he will come through. He's got plans and purposes to fulfill in spite of all the craziness that we've been through. So when it's all said and done, Mike, what do you hope your life and your story, what sort of a legacy do you hope that'll have? How that can help people discover.
I just every day I just pray about serving God and his kingdom, and just, you know, that this program, the Addies program, it's a ministry for me, you know, and that it would touch just a lot of people. It would heal hearts. It would strengthen communities. It would bring compassion, because, you know, when you have first responders that are doing well, they're showing up and they're doing well for the people that they're serving. You know, they're not thinking about their divorce or their, you know, their next drink or something. They're thinking about, you know, what they have in front of them, what they really have to deal with. And I really would like to, you know, my prayer is that people just know God's healing. They see his power in all of it, you know, and they really are. It's God's story. You know, I mean, he used a guy. I mean, God uses it, the simple to confound the wise, and he picked the right guy in this one, because there's no way, there's just no way that I could run. You know, people look at me and they're going, "You're doing what?" You know, and we're dealing with all these entertainment people or the council, whatever it is. You know, and I'm like, I can only say, hey, it's God. You know, and you know,
right.
And give him glory.
You know, wow.
Every step of the way. And that's what I did a lot. You know, I actually, when I was on, when I lost my first son, I lost two kids. So my older son died as well later on.
From the addiction?
Yeah, he had an addiction, and he was sober for about a year. I ended up adopting his daughter. Anyway, she said that, hey, my dad's over in Vegas. And so I called him up, and said, you know, what are you doing there? You know, not the place for sobriety. He didn't have the answers, so I knew something was up. So I told him I loved him, like I always do. I never get off the phone without telling people that I love them, because you never know, you know. And the next day, they found him dead in his hotel room. Heroin fentanyl overdose is what happened.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. And, but again, God just met me right there. And my son knew the Lord, you know, when he was sober, he was on fire for the Lord. But, you know, devil was just right on his heels the whole time too. But there's a lot of good things that have come out of both of those horrible incidents that would knock you down. I mean, there's no way that you can stand after something like that. And when my first child died, I told God, I said, God, don't send me to another dead kid call. Don't send me to another. I don't want to have to tell anybody they lost a loved one. You know, I'm out. Don't send me that. And those were all the calls I got, one after another. And I was just going, what are you doing, God? But I realized that I was standing on the doorstep of these folks that I knew they knew their pain, and they knew that I knew it. You know, they could see my heart was broken wide open, and they would look at me and they would say, how did you survive this, you know, after the loss of a child or a loved one? And my only answer was that it was God. You know, God was the only thing that got me through it. And you know, every single one of those calls ended up in prayer, whether the person was a believer or not. You know, God's presence was right there, so I knew what he was doing. And yeah. And I knew how, you know. And then I saw other families that had addiction in their family, you know. And for me, I would share my story, and they, because they felt alone, or they felt like something was wrong with them, you know, as a parent or whatever. And I'd say, sure. There's nothing wrong. I'm going through the same thing, and this is how I'm getting through it. And you know, I couldn't have survived any. I would not be here if it wasn't for God, for him holding me up, you know. And
it's just such a reminder, Mike, that we should always be willing to share our story with others, mm-hmm. and to be humble, and to, because we can comfort those that are going through something similar, and God trusted you and knew that you would. And so you are just such an inspiration. You really are. Like, I just want to cry. You're just such an inspiration, and you've been through so much, but like you said, God is so good. And he's even called you to write a book called A Higher Call to Duty, right? And so tell us a little bit about the book, and we want to be able to get people to that book. So let us know about that as well.
The book was it was a chapter of my life, because since that time, a lot of things have happened. You know, the book.
So you need to write a sequel, next sequel.
Yeah, I know. I could probably write three more sequels, I think. But at that time, I was battling cancer, and then and I still am. It's come back five times. It's stage four colon cancer, but God is like amazing. You know, I mean, I'm here.
Yes.
The first time I walked into the doctor's office, the first doctor said, well, you're going to be dead in 3 years. You know? And I said, well, no, I'm not. And you're fired.
Good for you, Mike.
And guess what? God's going to heal me. And so I still walk in that healing, you know, even though I've been hit,
yes,
you know, over and over, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to hit you and say, oh, no, you're going to, you know, and he wants to discourage you. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews that, you know, stand firm in the confession of our hope, because he who promises faithful. So I just stand in that healing. You know, if somebody says, hey, how's your cancer? I go, well, it's not my cancer. And, you know, I'm healed. I'm going to be fine. So I'm in a trial. They're shrinking the cancer and everything, you know, so things are going good. But also praise in the book, God. I talk a lot about, you know, I talk about my first son's death. I talk about a lot of supernatural things that happened to me, because there was a point where the Holy Spirit just began to work in my life. I mean, and it was on, And my head was spinning because I didn't know. You know, I was praying for the gift of prophecy because the Bible tells us that that gift is used to edify the church, build it up, exhort the church, you know, point to God and to comfort man. And that's what I was doing out on the street. And I noticed that I was really, I was on fire for that. I'm like, God, just, you know, I just want to do this, you know? And I just thought it was at that level where I was just going to, you know, show up and just be able to comfort people. And then the next thing I knew, the gift of prophecy started happening to me. And I was just like, what's going on here? You know, I talked to my buddy who was a pastor and he says, well, haven't you been praying for it? And I said, yeah, I guess I have. You know, so the Lord just started changing my prayers for people. You know, he just started speaking to me and then you know, he had me out on some calls where there was one call in particular where I ended up casting a demon out of a guy. And he kind of prepared me for that, but I was with another believer, another sergeant, and we ended up, it was a homeless guy and he was not looking good when we showed up, and it was just a call of a transient down. And normally we wouldn't have even gone on that call, me and this other sergeant, but at that time, that night, we had a guy with a gun, you know, that was, he was held up in a hotel and causing a big scene. So most of the cops were up there and we just went out and said, we'll handle the lower end calls. And so we did. And it pulled up and this guy was laying on the grass of this business, and I walked up to him and I said, hey buddy, you know, it's time to go, I gotta get up, the business called. And he was just looking at me and he goes, yeah, but he didn't look good. He looked really ashen and he looked, you know, it just something wrong. So I walked around the back of him and he had blood on his pants. He had like a GI bleed that was happening. So I just told him, I said, hey, but just relax, don't worry about it, I'm gonna get you an ambulance. So called for an ambulance, and I was just waiting. We were waiting for the ambulance, and I started talking to him. We started talking about God. I don't know how the conversation happened, but we ended up talking about the Lord. And he said, "Yeah, I knew God, but I ended up walking away from him." And I said, "Okay, well," I said, "would it be okay if I prayed for you?" And he said, "Sure." So I put hands on this guy, you know, and my partner was like, he's kind of a clean freak, and the guy was, you know, he's a transient, so he was putting his gloves on, he put his hand on my shoulder, you know, and I was praying over this guy, and the next thing I know, a demon manifests, and this thing started coming up, and this guy could not get up on his own strength. There was no way, and this thing raised him up off the ground. You know, didn't levitate him, but it raised him up off the ground. The next thing I know, this thing, it was there, and it was nasty. You know, and so it's just like, well, in Jesus' name, you're coming out of this guy. And so we ended up casting this demon out of this guy, and it came out, and you could see it. You know, and then he fell back down to the ground, and then his whole countenance changed, and he was just like looking at me, and he was like staring through me, you know, and he's just praying and thanking God. And then the ambi, you know, and that while that was happening, the smell of death came up too. It was really unusual. There's nothing like that smell. And when the ambulance got there, they'd smelled it and they said, "What died?" And I said, it's a long story. But load this guy up and take him to the hospital. And so afterwards, I got in the car with my partner and I said, "You saw that, right?" And he's like, "Yep, I saw all of it." And he said, "And we're going to pray for each other right now." So he did a prayer of protection for us, you know. And then later on, God brought me into to a deliverance ministry. And, you know, it was not that that dramatic, you know. So it's a very loving ministry. There's inner healing that happened, and then you get rid of the enemy. Beautiful. A lot of Christians, you know, are struggling with strongholds in our lives, you know.
And you're walking things out with great authority, which is the way we're
But your whole life just screams breakthrough.
Yeah.
breakthrough. Because every one of us have got areas of our lives where we can feel imprisoned or trapped or stuck But the beauty is that that nothing can stop the Spirit of God from freeing us. And just to go back to what you shared earlier, you know, the simple thing is we just ask God for the faith. And then we walk in the direction of what he's called us. And your life just speaks so highly of that. And so thank you for being obedient to the Lord. Thank you for being an example.
Yes.
And thanks for taking time today in your truck, in the woods, to share your story.
Yes. I know that this is going to impact so many people. So bless you. And we are believing with you for full healing.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you for all that you do and for your ministry and for touching all the people that you touch is super.
Thank you. All right. God bless. Take care.
God bless you.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough Podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.